We are going to be looking in Luke 17, 12, and I'm going to have some kids help me. I'm going to call you up in a bit if you came early. I wanted to make it the fairest way possible to let any kids that wanted to help. So about 5 minutes till, I just said, okay, if you want to help me with a skit, then come up. And we used the first 12 kids, so they're going to come and help me in a few minutes. And Josiah, if you'll get ready for your part also. But we're going to look in Luke chapter 17. Verse 12. And it says, then, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, if I can have my 12 kids come up to the front, please. My 2 priests I need over here on this wall. And my 10 lepers over here. A little bit further back over there. So they're just kind of acted out as I tell them what to do. Yeah, y'all just get in a big line past this because Jesus is going to walk up this aisle. Nope, get on the floor, baby. Okay, now we're just waiting. Okay, so we'll give. So now back in the day, the priest, if you had an issue, a medical issue, and it was especially if it was contagious, you had to go show yourself to the priest before you could return back to society. So we'll see in a little bit here that Jesus told them, go and show yourself to the priest. That is the reason why, is that the priest could confirm, just as we would go to a doctor if we're healed. You can come out, Jesus, whenever you're ready. If we would go to a doctor and get confirmed that, you know, we're healed, the same would be true. He's not ready yet. Oh, where did he go? Josiah? Okay. Okay. Come around this way. Okay. So as Jesus came into the village, there were 10 lepers. Stop right there. Now, this is impromptu, y'all, so they're just kind of following as they go. So Jesus walked into the village. Now, these 10 lepers were away from everybody else because the lepers in those days, because leprosy was so contagious and there was no cure, they could not stay with their families. They could not stay with everybody else. They had to live outside the camp. So they did not go up to Jesus. I'm going to tell y'all what to say. They came from way back here, and as they saw Jesus, they said, Jesus!
Jesus!
Yeah, it says they, with a loud voice, everybody say, Jesus!
Jesus!
Master!
Master!
Have mercy on us!
Have mercy on us!
And so Jesus, coming in, of course he heard them because they were yelling, and he said, go show yourself to the priest.
Go show yourself to the priest.
And so they went to show themselves to the priests, which are sitting over there on that wall. And as they went, they were cleansed. All of a sudden, they looked at themselves and they realized, oh, we're all cleansed. And they started talking to each other and sharing, maybe. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but we're just, you know, if they were all healed, they realized that they were healed. And all the priests stood up. And as they saw each one, they would probably just look at them because we know that they were healed. They were cleansed. And they would say, clean, 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 clean. Okay. But one of them, as he went, realized he was clean, and he went back and he fell down on his face before Jesus. And he said, what did he say exactly? He fell down with a loud voice, glorified God. He said, glory to God. And he fell with his feet at his feet. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed?
Were there not 10 cleansed?
But where are the 9?
Where are the 9?
Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God?
Were there not any
Except this foreigner? And then he stood up. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Okay. And you guys can all sit down. Good job. Thank you, guys. Everybody go have a seat. Okay, kids just make everything more fun, don't they? Everything is more entertaining when children are involved. We know because we have four and another one on the way. Praise the Lord. So this is important. This is not going to be real long. In fact, probably we've only got a little bit more, so the service isn't going to be real long tonight. But notice that Jesus was surprised that only one came back. He didn't say, "Oh, wow, at least one of you." He said, "Where are the nine?" He was surprised that only one of them came back. I think often our ungratefulness saddens God. Learning an attitude of gratefulness will truly change our perspective. Now, we can think, how could these lepers have done this? But how many of us, myself included, have prayed and asked God, "God, I just need you to give me wisdom, or I just need you to give me strength, or I just need you to show me what to do, or help me with this situation." And later, long way, sometimes days or a week later, we realize, "Wow, God, you really came through for me. And I completely forgot to even thank you." This is what happened with the lepers. Sometimes we get so caught up in the blessing that we forget the one who blessed us. We get so busy with the things and the blessings that God has given us that we forget to focus our attention on the one that gave them to us. And I believe that just as Jesus was saddened when this happened, and he wondered where the rest were that we're going to give glory to God, I believe that God is saddened when we don't give glory to God. And it is very important that we make a choice. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you'll put that up. It says, "In everything, give thanks." I don't know about you, but that is pretty much all encompassing. In every situation, give thanks. We can always choose thankfulness. Now, we can choose ungratefulness because we always have a choice. God gave us our free will and he gave us a choice. But we can always choose to be thankful. And the best way to say thank you for his gift is to offer our lives. And I'm going to ask Joe if you'll just get an I worship ready, because I forgot to ask him that ahead of time. God gave us a free will. So when we offer our will back to him in surrender and obedience, it honors him. Because we can give him our stuff. And you know what? That is a part of it. I believe God expects us to give our stuff. He asked us to give him 10%. So 10% is really not that much when he gives us 90. So 10% is not that much for us to give back to God. But also, we are to give not only our stuff that he has given us, we're to give back to him, but more importantly, we are to give our lives. I was telling the teenagers, the worship team today, because I really want to cultivate teenagers in the worship team that understand worship. And I was telling them today, I said, you know what? You can be taught how to look like you're worshiping. You can be taught how to raise your hands. You can be taught how to clap. You can be taught how to close your eyes and look like you're into the song. You can be taught all of that. But the truth is, real worship comes out of a relationship with God. When you see God as he is, worship is an outflow of that. It is a natural outflow that comes out of our relationship with God. That when we see him, that's why you can go to the beach and just worship. Because you see how amazing God is. I know that is for me because I love the beach. But when you begin to see God, whether it's in a worship service or at home, or when, you know, something happens with your family or anytime, worship is something that when we are looking at God, it is a natural outflow. But when we don't understand and our relationship with God is not deep enough, by nature, we as humans are naturally selfish. Selfishness comes naturally to us. We have to surrender to God so that we aren't selfish. We don't have to learn how to be selfish. That's why you don't have to teach a toddler how to take a toy that they want. Go into the nursery. You see it all the time. They want it. They will take it, you know, and not care. And sometimes bonk the other one on the head because, you know, because they're sitting there, you know? I mean, selfishness doesn't have to be taught. It is a natural outflow of human nature. Unselfishness has to be taught. But unselfishness, when that's what worship is all about. It's not about, and this is what I was telling the worship team, it's not about whether I like this song. It's not about how I sound singing it. It's not about whether or not people look at me and think that I sound good or look good while I'm on stage. It is about focusing my attention, using my talent to say to God, you are so worthy. You are so holy and you are so righteous. And when we really see God as he is, worship will be a natural outflow of that. We will not have to try. And so often when we come into church and we don't worship, it's because we're not seeing God. We are so focused on self. I had a rough morning. I don't like this song. I think that the music is too loud. I think that it is too hot in here. I don't understand why this person did this. When it's all about me, worship becomes very hard. Because worship cannot come out of selfishness. It only comes out of focus on him. But when we begin to focus on him, it becomes easy. It becomes an outflow. It's not about whether or not, you know, lifting your hands and dancing and praising with clapping your hands and shouting and bowing. All of those, there are 7 ways listed in the Psalms to praise. All of those are ways to praise. But those are an outflow of our relationship with God. And so I challenge you, if you don't understand worship, ask yourself, are you seeing God? Are you really focusing your attention on him? And not just when you're in church, because this relationship with our Father God was not meant to be for an hour on Sunday, even for 2.5 on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday. It's meant to be all day, every day. Our prayer time is meant to be precious time where we spend time in his presence and listen to what he has to say, and where we pour out our complaints or our struggles, or we ask and we thank him and we bring our supplications. And let me tell you, if you're struggling with prayer, even if you've been a Christian a long time, I'm going to give you a very simple piece of advice. Change your perspective. The perspective with which you go into prayer will affect the way whether or not you enjoy it and how much it affects you. If I went to my mom and I said, all right, mom, we need to spend our daily time together. So you got 20 minutes. So talk to me, please. And then after 10 minutes, I went, oh, it's only been 10 minutes. 10 more minutes. Okay. And then I took a phone call, and then, you know, I sent a text message, and then I got up and did some laundry. But that's what we do sometimes in our relationship with God. And we wonder, God, why do you feel so far away from me? Let me tell you, God is the one who created relationships. He created friendships. He created the father and son and daughter relationship. He created the marriage relationship. He is the one who created relationship. So we can go to him and say, God, I need to understand relationship with you. God, I want to be with you. I want to know you. I want to experience your presence. God, I don't want you to just do stuff for me. I want to know what matters to you. I want to hear what you have to say. God, when I read your word, I want you to speak to me. I don't want to just read so that I can check off and think that I'm a good Christian because I read my Bible today. I want to read because I want you to speak to me. And let me tell you, when you begin to change your perspective about prayer, it will change your prayer time. It will change the way that you approach it, and it will change how you come out of it. Because when we begin to really experience God's presence, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are changed. But the Bible says that as we behold him, we are transformed into his image. What a precious thing to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Jesus was purely, completely, holy, unselfish every minute of every day of his whole life. The Bible says he always did the will of the Father. Everything that he spoke, it says that he spoke only what the Father told him to say. He never had a selfish moment, but we are called to walk in his steps. How can we do that? The closer that we get to Jesus, the more access we allow him into our life. And I've said this a bunch of times, but God has been taking me on a journey. And I used to think that the closer that you got to God, the longer that you served him, the more that you learned how to do stuff. So that, man, you just knew how to do everything. And you know what I've realized? The longer that you serve God, the more dependent on him you become. The more you realize how much you need him in every situation. The more you learn how to open more and more and more of your life and your decisions. And because he becomes so important to you, then you don't want to live all day without him. You don't want to make all these decisions without him. And so you need time with him so that you can hear his heart and so that you can experience his presence. And then it becomes about, God, I just need you to show me what you want me to do. I just need it to be about you. And as we allow him to begin to fill us, then just like John the Baptist said, he begins to increase and naturally we begin to decrease. Because when God begins to fill us, self begins to get pushed out. But you know what? You will never, ever miss it. The only time that you'll miss it is when the devil tries to get you to look back. He'll try to show you the grass. Remember when life was easier? Remember when you didn't always have to be the bigger person? When you didn't always have to apologize? When you didn't always have to, you know, walk straight and keep your mouth right and you could say what you felt like saying all the time? Remember how easy that was? And he will always show you that, but he will never show you the struggles that came with it. Because he's always a liar and he's deceitful and he always only shows you half of the picture. That's what he did with Eve. He always shows us half of the picture. And so I want to do something a little different tonight. I need a few teenagers. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Perfect. I want y'all to pass out a card and a pen to... You need a pen? Raise your hand when they're coming around. I have lots of pens. Just grab those and take all of y'all. Take a few. Okay, you can get some. And I want everybody of every age to get a thank you card. It is Thanksgiving, but most of us have written thank you cards. Now, some of us, Janine Cavazicalian, are better at thank you cards than I am. I generally will just say thanks to you. I'm not always good about giving thank you cards. I'm sorry for that. But this is something often that we don't do. What we don't do is we have written thank you cards to people. But how many of you have ever written a thank you card to God? Everybody. Yes. Yep, everybody, even the kids, because they can draw a picture. Jesus chose over and over and over and over to be selfless. And so the question is, how thankful are you really? We can say how thankful we are, but when we show how thankful we are is by the way that we live our life. I can say, God, I am so thankful that you gave me my life. But in reality, what I mean is, God, I am so thankful that you gave me my life so I could live it how I want to and so that I can do the things that I feel like doing. What really honors God is when we, just like that leper, got down on his face, which I love Ezra. He did it all the way as best as you could do it. You know, when we really, literally and emotionally and spiritually and in every way, we just say, God, all that I am, I want you to have. God, all my weaknesses, all my failures, God, but I want you to change them so that I can look like you. God loves us enough to love us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. He does not leave us where we started. We are constantly growing. And so as this song plays, I want you to write a thank you card to God. Whatever you want to thank him for, multiple things, a few things, whatever you want to write a thank you card to God for, I just want to invite you to do that as this song plays. So that is, of course, that's actually not even a Christian video, but it's awesome to me how so often what the world discovers is what the Bible knew. what God knew thousands of years ago. And they keep finding this out, you know. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So, I don't know about, I know happiness is an emotion. I know joy comes from, is a fruit of the Spirit. But I know that when we obey God, the results are always better. And so if we choose to every day be thankful, one thing that I try to do, and I've said lots of times when I'm struggling, is I try to realize there are so many more people that have it worse than me. I think about Christians that are in prison, that don't have their families, and I pray for them. I think about those that are struggling, you know, that don't have food to feed their children. I mean, for most of us here, that is so far removed from us. But there are people that struggle with that every day. So we always have something to be thankful for. So I just want to close that out, and I'm going to ask Rick to come up and just close us in prayer.